brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Just talking to Tyrell Ventura there in the break. Exciting stuff going on. We'll be talking about with Jesse Ventura coming up, his father, on Friday here. All right, let's continue with some phone calls. We're going live at PrisonPlanet.tv in about 7 minutes. And I want to go through a bunch of news, and we'll continue with your calls and three very informative guests coming up. Let's talk to Jim in Illinois. You're on the air, Jim.
Hey, Alex, I was wondering if Friday when you talk to Bob, you could have him go into specifics on how they're going to take the pension funds, because I've been trying to tell people that they won't listen to me.
A lot of companies are already doing it. I mean, a lot of companies move their assets out, then the company goes belly up, and the bankers and shareholders, the dominant shareholders, pre-position themselves and actually take your pension funds. It's already going on. The federal government's announced they may take government and private pension funds to, quote, protect them, take part of the money, tax it, and then dole it out to you.
Yeah, and then one other thing. I was wondering, I don't know, maybe this might make your job a little easier, if, like, maybe you could set up, like, a website where you could have, like, all your guests, like Chapman and Tarpley and all those regulars, where they could have, like, a weekly update, and then we can go down there and download it, because I make copies of all your movies and pass them out. Because sometimes when you guys got to cover so much, when I hand this stuff to people, they think it's crazy, but where they could go into specifics, and then we could go every week and download it. Do you know what I mean or no?
Yeah, but that's it. I mean, it's hard enough to get guests on the air and run my radio show and make films and do everything else we're doing. I mean, look, if the public wants to be slaves and they want to be bankrupt and they want to be, I mean, it's not going to be like a Happy Meal given to them through the window in 10 seconds. We do archive all the interviews at PrisonPlanet.tv. We have free versions in lower audio quality at Infowars.com. We have the podcast. We have the free Apple iPhone app. I mean, I put my films out for free. I don't know what else I can do. I mean, I can't educate your friends that think you're crazy in 10 seconds. Knowledge takes time and investment. I mean, take Terror Storm, Endgame, Fall of the Republic. I mean, they'll get a 4-year level education in the real way the world works watching 2 or 3 of these seminal films, but I can't watch them for them. I appreciate your call, Jim. I just can't do it. Updates from each of my guests, boiling things down, making it simple. What, like a Reader's Digest? We do that every day with big boil down articles where we analyze, okay, here's a bill for national ID cards to have a job. We already have national ID cards, and they're going to make the illegals legal, and in one fell swoop, make everyone have to have these to have a job, and then just legalize the illegals. That's in the Wall Street Journal today. And there's an article by Kurt Nemo, Schumer, Graham use immigration to push national biometric ID card for American citizens. And look, I'm not mad at you, Jim, and I like listener ideas, but it does become somewhat of a pet peeve, not with you, but with the people you're trying to wake up, that you say you send them, say, an interview with Bob Chapman or Dr. Paul Craig Roberts or Max Kaiser or any of these other brokers or economists or Ron Paul, and then they say, well, this is too long. Okay, well, listen, it's not too long for you to watch Lost or House or Dancing with the Stars or The State of the Union or to play 10 hours a day of video games, and so that's what you want. Those people that won't listen to you, Jim, when you lovingly try to wake them up, they don't want to be informed. They want to go watch on average 4.5 hours of TV a day and 2 hours of video games and text message their friends and look at porno all day, and they want to get drunk and be lazy, so they're going to get robbed. When you get lazy and ignorant and stupid, corrupt parasites, predators move in and rape the hell out of you. And so they're getting hit hard, and they're going to get hit a lot worse because they don't care. They don't care about 1 million dead Iraqis and a fake war. Well, the police state doesn't care about them here either. And so they're going to, what the globalists will do to other countries, they want to do to us. They just can't get our guns. That's the one thing holding them back from an absolute just murder spree.
Rock Creek gently flows through the parkland of Washington, D.C., until it meets the mighty Potomac River in the heart of the federal city.
On the other hand, Rock Creek Free Press is a fiercely independent newspaper that's not afraid to print the truth. We print the stories that others won't touch. The 9/11 cover-up, media propaganda, government corruption, state terrorism, and violations of our constitutional rights. The Creek is a completely reader-supported publication. We accept no corporate advertising, no corporate influence. For a free, no-obligation issue of The Creek, just go to rockcreekfreepress.com. If you want copies for your local 9/11 Truth Group, send your request to editor@rockcreekfreepress.com. Rock Creek Free Press, not afraid to print the truth.
Call them at 301-452-0090 today.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
All of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty, and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Why is drinking pure high alkaline pH water the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Because alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using AlkaVision pH Drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to an alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
I am a shotgun rider.
I am a shotgun rider for the San Jacinto line. The desert is my brother. My skin is cracked and dry. I was riding on a Foco, and everything was fine till we took a shorter road to save some time. The bandits only fired once. They shot me in the chest. They may have wounded me, but they'll never get the best of better men. Cause I'll ride again. I am a river gambler. I make a living dealing cards. My clothes are smooth and honest. My heart is cold and hard. I was shuffling for some Delta boys on a boat for New Orleans. I was the greatest shark they'd ever seen. But the captain bumped a sandbar and an ace fell from my sleeve. They threw me overboard and I swore I didn't cheat. But I could swim.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer with key 9/11 information and the latest on Pakistan claiming they captured Adam Gadan, then reporting they hadn't captured him. That's coming up in about 25 minutes from now. Chris Pinto, documentary filmmaker, and then member of the Icelandic Parliament, Birgitta Jonsdottir, will be joining us on that key fight in the last hour. She'll be joining us also, not just on the radio, but at PrisonPlanet.tv for all the viewers at PrisonPlanet.tv, getting a lot of new members. We're excited so many of you are joining us over at PrisonPlanet.tv. Okay. Okay, let me get into the most important news that we're facing and dealing with, and it all ties together. In fact, give me a document cam shot, boys. Thank you. Wall Street Journal today. ID card for workers is at center of immigration plan. This is a complete retread of what the CFR report said 6 years ago. They write many of the big Homeland Security policies, then it gets passed as law. ID card for workers. This is the amnesty plan they tried to pass in 2005, 2006, and 2007. And then again, they didn't get it up even to a vote, but they tried a fourth time unsuccessfully in 2008. Now, remember that by the third time they were failing, they said, we're going to make the amnesty plan secret. That was the headlines. Senate keeps details of amnesty plan, of immigrant plan secret. You can pull those articles up. In fact, we did pull them up. And this is the deception of government. And then Senator Sessions, to his credit, would not go along with it. And he leaked it. He had the 20 smoking guns piece that he wrote, giving the subsections of the bill. Not only complete total amnesty, but all illegal aliens would be legalized, including felons, aggravated felons, rapists, arsonists, armed robbers. This is in the bill. And they would swear to not do it again and be completely legalized. And for 6 years, it was sunsetted out after 6 years, they could bring unlimited family members into the United States. So you think it's bad with 30 million illegals driving down wages, bankrupting the welfare system, hundreds of millions of people wanting to come here. Imagine what this would do, allowing them to bring in massive amounts of family. It was a total amnesty plan. It was more than that. It was a complete and total, the equivalent of a gubernatorial, a presidential pardon for criminals. Now, in that plan, and remember, this was written up by the Security and Prosperity Partnership at their Banff Canada meeting in 2006, and Judicial Watch sued and got the documents. It stated, we're going to sell legalization in the name of legalizing the immigrants. We'll make them completely legal. We'll give them a work ID card they'll have to have. But then citizens will have to have this to have a job, not just your federalized driver's license. And to back that up, I pulled up Human Events from 7/17/2006. And it says, are you ready for the North American Union ID card? And then it goes in to the SPP internal document. So that's Human Events newspaper. And, of course, Lou Dobbs covered it at the time. This new legislation is identical, and it's public. But they're selling it. Oh, we're gonna criminalize the illegals. Well, yeah, because the illegals won't be illegal anymore. It's a lawyer mind trick. It's like Clinton saying, well, it depends on what the definition of is. It's saying, we don't want global government, we want global governance. Governance means government, and in the Encyclopedia Britannica. So they play these little games, and Kurt Nemo has written a boil down, and he links to this article, in a key story he wrote this morning, Schumer Graham used immigration to push national biometric ID card. Now, as usual, before they can even pass this, they're already implementing it. Five states already put taxes, carbon taxes on cars that they claim use too much fuel. They passed no laws federally to do this. They're just doing it. In fact, here's an example. New cars in California must display global warming score, and there's a tax that's assessed on the auto dealer that's passed on to the customer. In fact, here's that article. New cars in California must display global warming score. And here's an actual photo of one of our California listeners sent us, global warming score, smog score, made up global warming, not scientific, a fraud, but they're going to tax you. And the Senate announced that they're going to go ahead and try to pass a bill to just put taxes on all fuel at the refinery, and this is what the oil companies are asking for. That was in the New York Times Sunday. Oil companies request, all ExxonMobil, Dutch Roll Shell, all of them requesting the taxes because they're owned and run by the big central banks. That came out 2 years ago. David Rockefeller went to a Dutch Royal Shell meeting. He went to an ExxonMobil meeting. He owned a bunch of stock in ExxonMobil. He said, I'm going to fire you, Rex Tillerson, if you don't do this. And so they said, okay, we got religion. It's real. We'll just pass the tax on. Go ahead and hit us. Now, the reason, in fact, here's another Wall Street Journal article about it. Economics, creating environmental capital. And it's the head of Dutch Royal Shell, Peter Vosser. All the heads of the big oil companies right here saying that they want these taxes. This is in the Wall Street Journal. So every time you hear, oh, you work for the oil companies, you don't want all these taxes, you're saying global warming isn't real. The oil companies, especially Dutch Royal Shell, BP, and others, for 20 years have been pushing this. This is run by them. Just like the healthcare takeover was written by the insurance companies, and every time it looks like it's about to pass, their stock shoots up. They gave four times the money to Obama they did McCain, because he promised to ram this through. Doesn't matter, McCain's supporting it as well. So Schumer, Graham use immigration to push national biometric ID card. Now, again, before they can even pass this law, the government offers it to the slaves. Oh, you travel from the U.S. to Mexico or from Mexico to the U.S. or from the U.S. to Canada. What they don't tell you in the Canadian TV ads that are produced exactly the same. In fact, we've shown them side by side. I only have time to show the U.S. version. It's almost identical. The Mexican one in Spanish is almost identical. Same video, same production. They don't tell you that under this agreement, the Mexicans can come in here with it, or the Canadians can come in here with it, and now they're just going to say, free open travel, the UNSPP, North American Union plan, it's a free-for-all now if you have this card. And then you can come in, and once you have a baby here, then you get all the welfare, the anchor babies, all of it. Now, you tie that in with this next report. CNN lavishes coffee party with favorable coverage after a year of Tea Party demonization. 2 months ago, I announced that if I have the time or that somebody else should do it, we should start a coffee party stronger than tea to take over the tea parties that we started from the Republicans. Well, the globalists are worse than that. They now have an open Obama operative setting up the coffee party, and every time I turn the TV on, we've got it on in the coffee room. I'm not even watching more than 20 minutes a day. It's the coffee party on there. And then I watch videos from MSNBC and CNN. We have these linked in the article that Watson wrote today at PrisonPlanet.com. The illegal aliens, the ones you've seen by the millions protesting, waving Mexican flags, that's who's at these coffee parties. So I knew this was coming and told my IT guy, you better get realcoffeeparty.com, which we're launching tomorrow. Is it the real coffee party or real coffee party? Or we have both, don't we? The point is that we've got to fend off the Republicans trying to take over the Tea Parties and castrate them, geld them with a real code of constitutional systems and populism for freedom. And we've got to fend off the Obama takeover, because the system wants to come in and take over the resistance to this globalist takeover. So we're going to get more into that, but I want to play going out to break. The hemispheric ID card ad that's been running for more than a year all over TV, and they have a radio version of this as well. So this is your North American Union ID card, but under this bill, you will need this to have a job. And the Canadians and Mexicans can come here, and we can go there, vice versa, and have jobs with this. But of course, it'll be selectively enforced. Only the U.S. is going to allow this. Canada and Mexico never honor their agreements. Here it is.
From painted deserts set ablaze
to snow-capped mountain peaks,
our travels last for only days,
but our spirits soar for weeks.
The salty air, a comfy chair, a place we can unwind.
But what it is we really miss
is the home we left behind.
On June 1st, 2009, new document requirements will make getting home from Canada, Mexico, and the Caribbean by land or sea more efficient. Learn more about the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative at getyouhome.gov.
Okay, so what they do is they show you driver's license and then show them transform and turn, if you look, into North American travel passes. And so they're saying in the bill, we're going to give these to all the illegal aliens because we've got to know what they're doing and just legalize them. So this will fix illegal immigration because it will just make it all legal. This is the UN plan. This is what they're doing to Europe. It's come out that in England and in Europe, They have secret deals to let in unlimited legal aliens. Then they organize them into a political force to be used on the indigenous people. The Coffee Party.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
One major world crisis away from having a totalitarian type of system.
The main event is the wholesale destruction of the world economy.
The push for every nation on the globe to identify and number all of its citizens.
Friends, I hope that you will order Shadow Government from InfoWars.com. We also have some specials, and you get some of our other films half price when you order Shadow Government. A new level in production quality and in information. It exposes how a cashless society, surveillance beast grid of total control is being put into place. This film needs to be seen. Everybody needs to get it. So order yours today. Show it to your friends, your family, your church, your neighbors, your boss, your employees. Shadow Government, ladies and gentlemen. Get your copy at InfoWars.com today. Shadow Government. It gives Big Brother a black eye. Available at InfoWars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Is it safe to breathe anymore? Crowded public places, global pandemics, and news reports of potential new strains of bacteria and viruses make you wonder. What if there was a germ-killing nasal spray that acted almost like hand sanitizer for your nose? There is. It's called Sinofresh Homeopathic Nasal Spray, and it's a proven germ killer. Sinofresh is a revolutionary doctor-recommended nasal spray that kills a broad spectrum of viruses, bacteria, molds, and fungi on contact in your nose. Sinofresh causes no drug interactions, no loss of smell, no rebound congestion, contains no alcohol, is non-habit forming, and is safe for daily use. Sinofresh must be a part of your family survival plan. Go to GCNlive.com now and click on the Sinofresh banner. The first 1,000 customers to click on the Sinofresh banner and purchase Sinofresh antiseptic nasal spray are instantly registered to win a free 24-bottle case. Go to GCNlive.com and click on Sinofresh. Breathe free. Breathe safe. Use Sinofresh.
Putting the structure of power as we know it on trial. There's a new film that seeks to do just that, looking at the history of political power, scandal, and the vision of some of the most well-known leaders in the world and how they shaped it. Jason Burmes is a radio host and filmmaker and is behind a new movie that we're talking about right now. It's called The Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined. Hey there, Jason. I just checked out the trailer for your film, and it looks like you've strung together a lot of historical footage, many of it former U.S. presidents talking about the need for a new world order. Talk about this concept and what it means to you.
Well, throughout history, men of power have sought to bring together the world under one government, and they've called this the new world order. whether it be Hitler during World War II or George Bush after the Gulf War, they all seem to use this terminology. So I decided to explore that and see what a New World Order really was and try to define that term.
And what did you find?
Well, I found that through organizations such as the Council on Foreign Relations, the Royal Institute for International Affairs, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, and many others, they have consolidated power on a mass level and are moving towards a world government. You're seeing this more and more with events like the G20 calling for a world currency and SDR units as the new reserve currency. So I'm really out to expose this agenda to not only the American people, but the world.
I understand that you did also some work on the film Loose Change 9/11, which challenges what the authorities have said about 9/11 and identifies some of the main points of what's now becoming the 9/11 truth movement. Does the Invisible Empire deal with this issue at all?
Well, absolutely. Actually, my last film, Fabled Enemies, exposed the international intelligence organization surrounding 9/11. Instead of focusing on the anomalies at the World Trade Center, at WTC-7 or Shanksville, we exposed the Saudi Arabian, the Pakistani, the Israeli and shadow government connections, and are now taking this a step further with Invisible Empire, a new world order defined. And this will be premiering at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv April 15th for the world to see.
And as you just mentioned, you're releasing it on InfoWars and Prison Planet. Did you try at all to get this released on the big screen or to get some investors to back you so it could become more well-known by the public?
Well, to be honest with you, I've tried to go that route before, and it can be an extremely difficult process. And with my films being seen by tens of millions of people online for free, that gets the message out. And we encourage people to take our films, make copies, and hand them out, because this is not about money. This is about getting the information to the public so that we can try to restore the Constitution and Bill of Rights in this country. This is to oppose tyranny, not to make a profit.
I'm curious about Invisible Empire itself. Give me some of the specifics, the premise, and what you hope your viewers will get out of it.
Well, a lot of times when people use the term New World Order, you're already into the conspiracy arena. And I literally have over 200 prominent people discussing that very term. So I want to shatter the image of what a New World Order means and really put out the facts, the truth about this agenda. And that's what I've done in this film, not only going over their organizations, but also their modes of control, such as assassination and false flag terror.
You were contrasting, I noticed, especially in the trailer, some of some leaders. For example, you had Hitler in there. You also had, President Kennedy, President Bush. Talk a little bit about, you seem to be arguing that there's sort of a congruent message between these leaders.
Well, I don't think that I put Kennedy in a negative light. Kennedy warned us that secret societies and backdoor dealings were a major problem during his presidency, and we know where that led to, his assassination. So when we have a person like George Bush espousing a new world order under the United Nations and global governance, and then on the other side of the supposed spectrum, we have people like Al Gore calling for the same exact thing and Bill Clinton calling for the same exact thing. In this film, you'll see Bill Clinton talk about a new world order, not once but twice. So really, I want to expose this, like you said, congruent agenda for world government.
All right, Jason Berman, thanks so much for giving us that inside look on your upcoming film. Comes out, Invisible Empire comes out April 15th.
I wanted to play Jason on RT yesterday, doing a great job. In the pre-build-up to the new film, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, but I like the term they used, the New World Order on trial. In fact, we're finishing the back cover right now. The film is now officially done. Perhaps that should be the thing on the back. A New World Order on trial. Because we've been debating the catch line on the back of the film, or their greatest secrets revealed, or the secrets, secrets exposed. I'm not sure, but I wanted to play that. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer coming up, and your phone calls and a lot more. And we'll continue to break down all the incredible news, legislation now in the Congress to secretly arrest and torture American citizens for any reason the Pentagon wishes.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
All of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.
Gentlemen, 1 hour and 33 minutes into this transmission, we're launching the coffee party, as I announced 2 months ago we were going to do. Now Obama has launched a fake coffee party, and we've analyzed it. It's run by one of his former operatives. It's an illegal alien party. And you talk about treason, bringing illegal aliens in and then using them as a political weapon. This is amazing. We're going to be covering this more coming up in the rest of the broadcast. But for the next 25 minutes, Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, highly decorated veteran. They had Al-Qaeda targeted. They had Osama bin Laden targeted in the months before 9/11. We're not allowed to go in. A lot of that's been declassified. Quite a bit of it isn't. His new book coming out in a few months is going to detail, but it's going through the review process with the Pentagon. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer is a Bronze Star recipient, more than 25 years of experience in intelligence community, including directing the Defense Intelligence Agency Task Force, Stratus Ivy. Under the lead, Stratus Ivy conducted some of the most daring and innovative human intelligence collection and information operation ever undertaken by the Department of Defense, as well as providing information to support the SOCOM program Able Danger. And he is currently a senior fellow with the External Communications Director of Special Lecture at the Center for Advanced Defense Studies, Washington, D.C. He instructs classes in psychology of terrorism and intelligence analyst, and we're honored to have him on with us. Good to have you here.
Good to be
on. Thank you again, Alex. Have it coming back. So sorry about that.
I want to recap your story, get into the latest developments. But you had said off air to me you saw my piece on Geraldo Saturday, and I find it suspicious that within an hour and 5 minutes, the media was already knowing this guy was supposedly a 9/11 truther. And I question, why does the media love to demonize 9/11 truth and try to tie it in with violence when there never was any history of it? They pre-program people for that. I mean, I really see some type of a setup here. I think this whole thing is very suspicious.
Well, I think, obviously, there are people looking for rationale and reasons for actions that clearly are random. In some cases, I think you mentioned, we talked about it, but there's kooks out there who simply get well off the beaten path. They adapt whatever view they think is closest to their view of the world. And I think, in this case, the individual just, you know, lost it. And I'm the anti-terrorism officer of the division I'm in right now, too, and this is something the Army is actually looking at, is how individuals can become unstable. And it's an issue which happens all across society. As a matter of fact, Alex, I recall hearing today somewhere else one of the individuals went bonkers and started shooting people again in the workplace. So, you know, to try to equivocate a kook's attack on the Pentagon and lump it into, you know, try to lump him into a larger organization simply doesn't make sense, especially when you're talking about doing it within hours of the event. I mean, you and I both know to do a thorough investigation, even do a triage investigation, it would take days. So, you know, for anyone to jump within hours and say this guy is associated, you got to wonder what the agenda is, because clearly someone's not being objective. And it's funny, because if and I'm going to say this, and it's probably not politically correct, if the guy was Muslim, they would have taken hours and days to try to push away the fact that he was of Muslim descent, because, you know, there's a complete opposite take if someone with a certain background, for example, the Major Hassan thing, it took him nearly 5 hours to disclose that he was had a Middle Eastern name. So there's a real problem with perception going on in the press right now. You know, they're ready to jump one way, but they will not jump another. And this to me tells the fact that there's a real problem with objective reporting. So
okay, well, take the Fort Hood shooting. It turned out for 2 years he was walking around praising suicide bombers. He was communicating with these Al-Qaeda operatives who are well-known, and the CIA has declared national security and won't give Congress those emails. With the shooter at the Pentagon, his family warned months before and weeks before about it. Nothing was done. We have the underwear bomber. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it even came out in Detroit News. The Undersecretary of the State Department said, "We were ordered by an unnamed U.S. intelligence agency." Sounds just like what happened to you and Stratus Ivy. We were told to let him have his visa and help him get on the plane, and we have the witnesses, Kurt Haskell and others on the plane, saying a sharp-dressed man without ID, without passport, got him through security in Amsterdam, past the scanners, onto the plane. The FBI said that wasn't true at first, now said, okay, it is true. It looks like something more is going on. I mean, at bare minimum, they're leaving the door open for these people.
Well, and this is there's a real risk versus gain. And let me let divert just a bit here, but I think it's still on topic. I believe the Badr arrest was something similar. I think we were, frankly, getting a lot of intel take out of Badr while he was still in. And Badr, for those of your listeners that maybe not understand who he is, he was the number two Taliban guy in Pakistan, wrapped up in Karachi a while back, just a few weeks ago. I'm hearing, and I've got this both from British sources and American sources, look, he was kind of neutralized where he was at. He was being monitored. And Alex, that's one of the things the intelligence community does do. They will target someone and let him sit. They will know everything he's doing because the simple fact of their existence and their actions allows us to track back who they're talking to. And, again, this goes back to Able Danger. That was what we were doing. We had a few known contacts. We wanted them to exist. We wanted to see who they were talking to and figure out where the cells were. I mean, it's all linked together. It's one big happy family. It's a social network. So I think when you look at the underwear bomber, it's very possible they were allowing him to do something, and they may have thought this was a dry run.
No, they've now said that. They've now admitted it. The State Department's admitted that.
Yeah, frankly, that we know that the Al-Qaeda, and especially when they're doing a major attack, will do rehearsals. James Woods, the actor James Woods, actually witnessed one of the rehearsals when he flew out of Boston right before 9/11. He actually reported to the FBI, and it kind of blew him up. and going towards the idea of Bhattadhar, I think Bhattadhar was not arrested because we wanted to get more intelligence out of him. I think in some ways he was arrested to neutralize him, because one of the things we have to remember, Alex, is Bhattadhar was the main contact between the Taliban and the Pakistani ISI. So, you know, I think the last thing in the world the Pakistani ISI wants is a Taliban guy talking about who in the ISI, the Pakistani ISI, is bad. So, you know, I preach this on the air every time I go on. You've got to look deeper at a story. You cannot take things at face value, because there's always more. And frankly, there's multiple competing agendas, and it's very tough, as you know, to get past the agendas and get to the truth.
Well, let me expand on that, because we know about the airlift of evil. Here's the MSNBC article. Why did we let Pakistan pull volunteers out of Kunduz? And over again, special forces commanders would capture top Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and thousands of fighters. They were ordered, let them go, send them to Pakistan. And we know time and time again, you know, it's like this Adam Gadon thing. They say Pakistan captured him. And then we hear, oh, no, he wasn't captured. You know, was he pulled in? He's the grandson of one of the ADL founders, this right. Super anti-Muslim guy, then now he's the voice of Al-Qaeda. I mean, give me a break. We know there's all these double and triple agents out there. So we hear somebody gets captured over and over again, and we know about these airlifts of evil. What's your take on that?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, that's one of the issues we have to look at here is what is the real story? And let's talk about the Gadan thing, or Pakistan in general. Frankly, one of the things that's been seen several times lately is the Pakistanis trying to maintain control of the Taliban. And in many ways, they see the Taliban as Iran sees Hezbollah. I view it as a separate but capable component of their national strength. Therefore, when you start looking at how it works, who's involved, you've really got to question what their motives are, what the Pakistani motives are when they do anything. And to underscore your point, absolutely. Back in 2003 was one of the first indicators that we knew, and I briefed General Bardo, the commander of forces, on it, that Taliban ISI elements were not only participating, they were captured. There was an ISI female operative captured in a Taliban raid in Afghanistan in 2003. So, you know, we have indicators going back to 2003 that they've been riding both sides of the rail. And in this case, we've really got to look at how they're doing it. Now, one of our senior fellows, Chris Mason, came out recently in Foreign Affairs, it's a publication, and talked about the fact that he thinks that everything we're seeing right now is being orchestrated by the Pakistanis, not because they support us, but they're working on out of their own enlightened self-interest to re-insinuate themselves into the negotiations with us and the Taliban, because they know if the Taliban breaks off, you know, from them and negotiates with us, that the Pakistanis lose control. So I think you need to look at everything that goes on here as a big chessboard and figure out that sometimes sacrificing a pawn is a good thing if that means you can protect your queen. And I think that's what we're doing here, what's going on here. Every time a move is made, you got to look at the chessboard and figure out, okay, what's going on over here on the other side of the chessboard? What did we not see? And for example, the Marja campaign, you know, again, that's been something that's been going on for a while. We have yet to understand what, if any, effect that's going to have in long-term winning of the war, if, you know, and winning again, I think you and I talked about this, but we have to redefine our definition of victory and winning. So, you know, we've got to look at this. We've got to look at Pakistan and Afghanistan as a whole, and we cannot win Afghanistan, whatever measure, whatever definition you use to define winning or victory. We cannot win in Afghanistan unless we win in Pakistan. And right now, I think the picture is too muddled to make a good judgment if we're making progress in Pakistan or not.
Well, let's expand on that, though.
Okay.
I mean, you go back to 1993, it came out in the New York Times and CBS News, and we now have the FBI tapes that were declassified last year that were in the trial. The FBI goes in, hires Ahmad Salam, an Egyptian intelligence officer, tells them we're going to set up local Muslim radicals. Both guys were borderline morons. They cook the bomb, they train the driver, and then they say, we're not going to do the sting, we're going to let it go ahead. Ahmad Salam starts recording them, telling him that yes, you were hired, you were told to build a dummy bomb, then we changed it to real bomb, now we're letting it go ahead, clearly as a way to get more funding, crack down a police state. We have the Homeland Security MIAC report documents that came out last year, where most of Homeland Security is now for gun owners, veterans, libertarians, conservatives. This whole anti-terror apparatus is really being used as a cashless society taxing and control grid. We have Sybil Edmonds saying now, until the day of 9/11, that the U.S. elements of it, involved with the Turks and involved with the Pakistanis and CIA and Mossad and British MI6, were all, in her words, running al-Qaeda or elements of it on the day of 9/11, and she's gagged. Now, A, is she a liar in your view, or why is she saying this? Because the evidence backs her up. I mean, who are the players? Because I look at this from a Hegelian dialectic of problem-reaction-solution, or from some of the Army field manuals that talk about false flag, to again, allow this to happen bare minimum as a pretext to launch new wars.
Well, let me cover the question kind of two parts. First off, I know Sybil. I respect her. I think she's a wonderful woman, and I admire her work.
I do too.
She is very well spoken. I got to tell you, I've always been fascinated about the fact they've been trying to gag her. I mean, to me, it's loony. The more they try to shut her up, the more credibility they give her. So I give her that right there. It's like, man, the more they try to sit on you, you know.
And all the FBI agents that were gagged who tried to stop it.
Well, and then there's some of her other associates. I know one of them was on the FAA red team, and, you know, there was a recent thing on Facebook I was watching kind of go where Condoleezza Rice talked about no one could imagine, aircraft being used as weapons. Well, Alex, the FAA was training against that scenario for years before 9/11. So, and that's all, you know, again, one of Sabella's...
The Pentagon ran a drill the year before of it happening.
Right. So I think, you know, this is one of those things where... I think everybody can speculate all day, and I think Sybil has given some extraordinarily clear clues to follow up. The problem is always to get someone to investigate. And this is one of the things I've talked about both with my issue, with the 9/11 issue, with some of these other things. There's got to be a way of establishing a credible investigative body to sort through this, because otherwise, and this is where I think I do take exception with the Obama administration talking about trying to go after radical groups. You know, frankly, I think by the fact you won't address the fundamental underlying issues that people are upset about, that directly influences the number of people who get frustrated and become radicalized who want action. So,
well, let's stop there. Let's stop there because we're running out of time, and this is so important. For people that don't know your case, maybe crystallize that in how you were stopped from doing your job and stopping 9/11, and then at every point the doors were opened, the embassies gave them their visas, and were told this is part of national security. They work for us. You have ADA and others popping up at U.S. military bases. I mean, this stinks to high heaven. But pulling back from that, we have this overall demonization of anybody who calls for a new investigation, and you have Deborah Medina getting in trouble for it, a gubernatorial candidate. You have all these talk show hosts saying you're the devil if you question anything in or around 9/11, and we have 6 of the 10 9/11 commissioners coming out and saying we need a new investigation. Go ahead.
Well, I'm with you on that, and I think that's right there should be the beginning and end of it. If the 9/11 commissioners themselves, and I heard this on the news today talking about some of these, you know, there's apparently a belief now by a lot of the 9/11 commissioners that the report is speculative at best. So if you're putting out speculation as policy, then there's something dreadfully wrong. I mean, come on, Alex, that's just wrong. So I think that should be the beginning and end of it right there. That should be the place where everything starts and ends regarding the justification for a new investigation.
So it's not wrong to call for a new investigation.
Not at all, and especially since the investigators themselves, the commissioners have said that, you know, we didn't go as far as we probably could or should have. Now, with that said, I think, you know, if you want to talk about Able Danger, there's a book out, and this is one of those things I rail at when people say, well, you know, the IG report, this and the other about Able Danger. The IG report talks about the fact that Atta's name was found in a database. It's not, people don't bother to read the report. They read the summary and say there's no evidence, but they don't bother to read the body where they say, well, yeah, we actually did find Atta's name. It was an Army database. So I always rail when people say, well, you know, the Able Danger report refuted what Schaefer said. No, it did the opposite. It's just people never covered it. And I cite for you, Alex, something that everybody can pick up. They can go to Amazon and pick it up right now. I don't have any investment. I don't know the guy who wrote it. Doug Stanton wrote a book called Horse Soldiers. And on page 24 of that book, and your listeners can go look at it right now, go on Amazon, there's a page about Jeffrey Lambert, Major General Jeffrey Lambert, who, by the way, was the operations officer at SOCOM when I was involved in Able Danger. Major General Lambert admits, on the day of 9/11, his thinking was, oh, my God, I know who did this. It was Al-Qaeda, and I know the guy who did it. I know Atab because I was briefed on him a year before. And that's in the book. So, you got to ask yourself, how is it the DOD IG failed to interview Major General Jeffrey Lambert? And now here he is, years later, the book came out, I guess, January of last year. How is it now he's admitting this? And, did he not get the memo to keep his mouth shut? Did he just not get contacted by the IG? So with that fact alone, Alex, I think that justifies a new investigation of Able Danger. Would you not agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you got a major figure in Able Danger now admitting, yeah, we knew about Atar. It was part of the special project doing data mining. So to me, this is patently obvious that someone either missed a clue or, in my judgment, they purposely avoided getting the clue. I mean, if you're not going to hunt for zebras in the Antarctic, and that's what they were doing on the Able Danger investigation. Anywhere we told them to look, they'd look somewhere else or change the questioning. So if they did that with my issue, Alex, what have they done in other areas? You got to ask that question.
Well, at a certain point, it's clear that this is not just screw-ups, and you've chalked some of it up to turf battles. The CIA wanted its own private Merc armies, Blackwater and others. They didn't want the Army shining. They wanted to move to this more mercenary model. But it's more than that. I mean, they got their police state. They got their new wars. They got their naked body scanners. They got their Patriot Act, which they now use against the general public. They've now got bills introduced. Dissenters to be detained as enemy belligerents. U.S. citizens, I have the bill here. It says, for any intelligence gathering or such other matters as the president considers appropriate. I mean, they're killing America on the altar of the Al-Qaeda boogeyman when this thing grew out of what the CIA set up in 1979 to the 1980s in the Mujahideen. And it's just every door open to the terrorists, every door they're protected. Bottom line here, this looks like a staged event to me. Then we can debate, well, how much of it staged or to what extent?
Well, I think, Alex, your listeners need to take a hard look at what's going on, and they need to obviously pressure the representatives, because this is the one question I would ask them to think about. If we've done, and as you said, these things are not new. These have been in the process of being implemented. People have had time to get used to them. The law enforcement intelligence community has these tools available to them. How is it then the underwear bomber got so close to launching? As a matter of fact, had he not technically failed to ignite the weapon, it would have been a touchdown. So you got to ask yourself, with all these new laws, how is it we had a near miss? How is it? I mean, think about it. The intelligence community has gotten everything it can. And for example, Mr. Brennan, the special advisor to the president regarding terrorism, he talks about 20% revisionism as being okay. And now the number two guy in the Taliban in Pakistan who picked up where Bin Laden left off is one of the guys who released from Guantanamo. So is 20% revisionism okay? So, again, you've got to ask yourself, what are we doing as a government with these enhanced laws, with these enhanced abilities of the intelligence community? Because to me, if you're having near misses after all these enhancements, something's wrong. And you got to, again, if you've been given everything you want and you still aren't producing, that means, like you pointed out, somewhere we missed something in the early investigations. I argue the 9/11 Commission not only got it wrong, they didn't get to the nub of what was really wrong at all. And this is where I think we've got to go back to that fundamental beginning, the 9/11 attacks, to look at that and then make an assessment of what actually went wrong, because they never placed blame. And I think, Alex, they need to go back and place blame. And frankly, I do some of that blame because I didn't scream as much as I should have regarding the fact we identified these guys and we're trying to get the FBI the information. And I testify to that fact that I feel horrible about the fact that I was not, out of all the things I've made, decisions about in my life, that was not.
But Colonel Schaefer, you at least tried to stop it. I don't think you have any blame here. Instead, we saw the FBI commanders that blocked their agents from stopping people at the flight schools when they specifically said, we believe they're training in Arizona, Minnesota, Oklahoma to fly planes into buildings. They got demoted, and the agents that blocked them got record cash bonuses. Here's DetroitNews.com. Terror suspect kept visa to avoid tipping off larger investigation. So we know they were tracking him. We know his father warned them. We know all this was going on. I mean, this is just absolutely staged out in the open, and we know that this threat of terror is being used to clamp down on the American people. And so you are calling for a new 9/11 investigation here, and that's good. I mean, who would investigate it? Because it's the same corrupt politicians every time that have a incentive to want to cover up what the system's done in the past. I mean, who investigates it? State grand juries? Who?
Well, I think you've got to find someone of somewhere getting out of the politics and doing it. Now, frankly, the 9/11 Commission was made up of people who all had background and agendas contrary to the good interest of the country, trying to get to the bottom. So you got to find people who have two things. First off, the skill set to understand what they're looking at. I argue half the 9/11 staff did not understand the importance of certain things that were brought to them, and I would cite Abel Danger as one. Secondly, you got to have people who do not have political agendas, and it's frankly hard to find, but not impossible. This is where one of those things, if there is a will to have someone allow a selection process to go through, a vetting process to go through, you could find the right people. You could find people who would do a credible job of telling the truth, but that process itself would be painful. It'd probably take about a year to get the right people selected, but simply because it's tough to do, there's no reason to not do it. Anything.
So we need the people to continue investigating and lawsuits and other things. In closing, Colonel Schaefer, we appreciate your time here and your courage to come on and talk about these issues. They're vetting your book right now in national security. It's coming out, I guess, in the next few months, hopefully.
The date is 31 August. We get the published date is 31 August.
Okay. So coming up in August, we'll have you back then. We appreciate your time. How much are they going to allow you to put in there that the public hasn't known so far? Can you give us any tidbits of stuff that's been vetted and that you're allowed to release?
Well, I guess the one thing I can talk about in good detail is the fact that there's an entire chapter devoted to my initial conversations with Philip Zelikow at Bagram. This is not something I was able to go into for any number of reasons when I testified, and I pretty much go through the entire, verbatim what happened. It is from my recollection. You have to remember that. And I go through and provide the detail. The other thing I think is going to be notable about the book is it wasn't just me talking. We had collaboration and support from other members who were deployed with me. So when you read the book, you'll have to understand it's been vetted not only by, a security review, but the folks who are actually there with me have participated in helping write the book.
And we're going to get a bird's eye view into how you were specifically blocked from taking out Al-Qaeda before the attacks.
Well, don't forget, this is only the introduction of Abel Danger. It's not going to be a teaser, but this covers my deployment to Afghanistan in 03 and 04 and where the disclosure made. Basically, the thing that came after in 05 and 06 is an entirely different story, but this actually talks about in great detail my protected disclosure to Phil Zelikow and what happened to me when they tried to shut me up.
It covers Stratus Ivy, correct?
It touches upon that a little bit. As a matter of fact, Stratus Ivy is brought up in greater detail. As a matter of fact, it's one of the new things. A little bit more detail on Stratus Ivy that looks like they'll be able to read about in the book.
But bottom line, Colonel Schaefer, the establishment gets more power out of these terror attacks, and I find that very suspicious.
I find it the fact that we've given the intelligence community a lot more authority, a lot more money, a lot more resources, and we're still having problems to be something terribly wrong. And again, your listeners should really question, where is the money going and what are we spending it for? Because they're getting a lot of money.
Colonel Schaefer, thank you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.